Do you find yourself searching for a true crime podcast focused on West Virginia? Well, I have you covered. I'm Mark Covey, the host and creator of Mountain State Mysteries, where every Friday, my co-host Courtney and I tell you about one of West Virginia's coldest unsolved cases. Tune into Mountain State Mysteries on your favorite podcast platform. Mountain State Mysteries contains adult content that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Mark, and this is Mountain State Mysteries. The case I have for you today is about a 16-year-old who got mad at his parents and ended up killing his entire family. This is the case of Jerry Ball. On January 28, 1983, Betty Ball and her children were doing what most families did in the 1980s. They were watching television as a family. Harold Ball was in the other room taking a nap. The Balls lived off Dry Hill Road in Beckley, West Virginia, and they sounded like a picture-perfect family. That is, until that chilly January day. Their oldest child, Jerry, asked his mom if he could go hang out with some friends at the Old Hex Shopping Center parking lot. She told Jerry no. His family never saw what was coming that night. Jerry says he took a baseball bat and struck his mother in the head. Then he went up to his father and his two younger brothers. Stephen, who was 11, and Richard, who was 6. He took turns striking them with a baseball bat multiple times, murdering all of them. Jerry dragged each of the bodies into his parents' room and took the mattress off the bed to cover up the bodies. In the autopsy report, it says Harold was the only one who tried to defend himself. When the West Virginia State Police asked Jerry why he dragged the bodies into his parents' bedroom, he said he didn't know why. Jerry later confessed to his motive. Quote, "I guess because my mom kept cussing me and jumping on me," end quote. He told authorities that by jumping on him, he basically meant that she just cussed him. He also confessed to using a .22 caliber pistol to shoot his mother. According to the state medical examiner, all four sustained multiple blunt force injuries to the head. Betty was shot once in the back of the head. Jerry said, quote, "I hit all of them 4 or 5 times, or maybe more than that. I didn't count," end quote. John Price, a family friend, whose boy saw Jerry the night of the murders, said his son closest to Jerry was completely flabbergasted by the murders. The psychiatric report said Jerry was a schizophrenic abused child. Jerry's legal team argued that the murders occurred due to his abusive childhood. However, the neighbors would disagree with this statement. Dr. Chevert Frazier, chairman of the Department of Psychology at Harvard, told Marion County Circuit Judge Fred Fox II, Jerry committed the killings in a blind rage, and that the 16-year-old teen was unable to control his rage. However, a psychologist at the Lakin Prison said Jerry demonstrated no psychosis and displayed a good grasp of reality. They also said the teen understood the wrongfulness of his actions from that night. In the psychiatric reports, it also indicated that Jerry was not mentally handicapped. Larry Earl, the psychologist for Raleigh County Schools, was Jerry's baseball coach for 2 years. Earl said that Jerry did not have discipline problems, and he never got into fights. Instead, Jerry was the opposite. Earl recalled Jerry getting along with his siblings and said that Jerry carried around his youngest brother, Richard, like he was a second dad. Jerry was indicted on 4 counts of murder. He was given 4 life sentences to be served consecutively. Jerry was tried as an adult in November of 1985. the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals ordered Jerry to be sent to the Anthony Center for Youthful Offenders. The West Virginia Supreme Court decided the court has authority under West Virginia Code to sentence a person who commits a homicide while a minor to the Anthony Center for Youthful Male Offenders, even though he was sentenced as an adult. Jerry has since been transferred to a maximum security penitentiary in West Virginia. He is still serving life in prison today. Stay tuned for a new episode coming out next week. If you find yourself enjoying Mountain State Mysteries, take a second to follow, download, and rate us on your favorite podcast platform. It helps others find good true crime podcasts. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, all at Mountain State Mysteries. Do you have a case you want us to cover? Send us an email at mountainstatemysteries304@gmail.com. For the show notes, check out our website, mountainstatemysteriespodcast.com.